Drummer Joe LaBarbera is the youngest brother from a well-known musical family that also produced trumpeter John LaBarbera and saxophonist Pat LaBarbera. As a young man, he played with Woody Herman's orchestra and spent years touring with trumpeter Chuck Mangione, but he's best known for the 20 months that he spent as a member of Bill Evans' final trio. He's written a book about what became one of the most impactful and consequential periods of his career. It's called Times Remembered, The Final Years of the Bill Evans Trio. I spoke with Joe LaBarbera in December, and I began a conversation by asking him to recall when he first became aware of Bill Evans.
My first listening to Bill was through a record my brother Pat brought home. He brought home an album called Jazz Track, which was an album Miles Davis recorded prior to Kind of Blue. The introduction and the playing that Bill Evans does on that record was unlike anything that I'd ever heard. And I had no idea what was going on. I just knew that this was something that was special. And I was hooked forevermore from that first listening many, many years ago.
Bill Evans' first very influential trio recordings were that short-lived group with drummer Paul Motion and bassist Scott LaFaro. I was wondering if you could kind of describe for the lay person who's not a musician, like, what was it about that group that was so new and innovative?
Most of the trios that were on the scene back then, and most of the bands that were on the scene back then, the model was that the rhythm section laid down a solid foundation, swinging groove, and whoever the soloist was, whether it was the pianist or a horn player, that person was front and center. And there was interaction, but it was primarily that person that was being featured. With Bill's trio, you know, Bill was looking for something different right off the bat. In his very first interview, he tells the interviewer that ideally he wants to be a solo piano player because he wanted the ability to be able to move freely with the music without having to worry about another musician. So if he wanted to change key, or if he wanted to stay on one chord for a little longer, if he wanted to sit back on the time, whatever he wanted to do musically, he could do. And solo piano players do that. So this is what was in the back of his mind when he was starting a trio. He wanted that flexibility. He wanted musicians that were going to be able to move with him. Scott LaFaro deliberately stopped using four to the bar walking bass. Scott LaFaro would play some kind of just a melodic line or break up the time a little bit. Paul Motion was not playing that consistent and unvarying ride cymbal pattern. He was playing phrases with the drum set as a whole. When you listen to that, it's remarkable. He really opened doors for all the drummers that were going to follow. The real factor here, the most important factor, is the feeling. Those musicians communicated with their audience. Bill Evans, every note he plays resonates with me because of the feeling that he puts into his music. And as studied a musician as he was, and as devoted as he was, the main thing about Bill Evans always was and always will be the feeling he put into his music. Thank you.
An excerpt of the tune Milestones as performed by Bill Evans on piano with drummer Paul Motion and bassist Scott LaFaro. I'm Peter Solomon. You're listening to 91.3 and 90.7. Today I'm speaking with drummer Joe LaBarbera. He's just written a book called Times Remembered, The Final Years of the Bill Evans Trio. LaBarbera worked with Bill Evans for 20 months in 1978, 79, and 80.
Can you talk about the circumstances wherein you joined Bill Evans on stage for the first time, and do you remember what that was like?
I remember the audition quite vividly because I was working at another club with Toots Thielemans about three blocks away, and Toots very generously timed his set so that I could cut out on the break and run across 12th Street to the Vanguard and play a set with Bill, which is exactly what I did. And it was, you know, in the door, on the stage, a couple of adjustments, bam, hit it. Say hello to Bill, say hello to Mark, and he hits it. This is where all those hours of listening to his music paid off, because I didn't know what he was going to play, but it felt so comfortable because it's so easy to follow Bill Evans on the bandstand. When you're out in front as a listener, it can be deceptive. It can seem like it's very abstract, you know, the way he phrases. He anticipates harmonies. He will accentuate different beats in the bar, not just one. You know, he's that displacement gives it this feeling of suspension that ultimately will settle and you'll land safely. But when you're a listener, you really don't get the same sense that you get on the bandstand. On the bandstand, it's so obvious. I don't know how else to describe it. But the set went just fine. And at the end of it, he walked past the drums and he said, "Hey man, if you've been checking out my book, you seem to know everything that we played." And well, it really was just that I had listened to him so many times on record and was so comfortable with the way he played that it made sense.
What was Bill Evans like as a leader?
Unique, because there was never a rehearsal, ever. He never said a word. He expected you to be able to be tuned into him 100% from the first note to the last. So that's all you needed. He started to play and we started to respond. We started to join in. He could instruct by demonstration, not that he was giving us lessons, but if you paid attention, you could hear what he was asking you for with the music. He didn't need to say, you know, "Hey Joe, why don't you not play Spang-a-Lang here? Why don't you free it up a little bit?" Or "Mark, you know, maybe don't walk here," things. He would never, ever say that, ever. But you could sense from the way he was playing that this is what he was looking for. And at the same time, he was completely open to what Mark and I were bringing, because we were throwing stuff at him all the time. You know, the young upstarts, we wanted to bring him into the new decade, as it were, you know.
You do talk to some extent about the way that his addiction affected the trio's work. And yeah. I was wondering if you could offer an illustration of that.
You know, Bill's substance abuse is pretty common knowledge. He was using quite a bit of cocaine at the end. And as anyone that's been around that drug or people that use that drug can tell you, it can pick things up, right? So in Bill's particular case, you know, the tempo started to push. It got to a point where it was quite a distraction. I would talk to Bill about it. He and I had a couple of really heated arguments about it, quite frankly. And it's just, there was no way at that point to get him to change his ways. And quite frankly, I think he was using it just as a way to get up and perform. I don't know if he needed it physically or emotionally, what the addiction involved, but it did affect the tempos, and it was difficult at times. But the worst thing you can do is try to hold it back. If you try to hold the tempo back, you kill the music. So it's better to just go with it, take it to where it's gonna go, and just, that's tonight. Maybe tomorrow will be different.
Did you have a sense when you started working with him of where he was at that point in his life as far as like his health was concerned and the demons he was struggling with?
Initially, he looked very robust to me. He looked very strong. And here's the thing that was always deceiving right up to the last day. Once he started playing, you were not aware so much of his physical being. You were hearing such strength, such command come from the keyboard that it was deceiving. So he sounded incredibly strong, even on the last night that he ever played, you know, and we had to carry him out of the car that last night. But once he hit the stage, it was amazing.
What was the lasting impact of working with Bill Evans after he died, when you're working with other groups in the 1980s and 90s and so on? What did you take from that experience working with Bill Evans?
Oh, I took a lot away from that. With Bill, because it didn't involve rehearsals and because it was all in the moment, what I learned to take away from that was that complete concentration. You're just completely immersed in the music. And you're doing everything that you can to help everybody around you. It was critical that we were all hooked together at all times and all there for each other. You know, the rushing tempos are another example. I mean, that's a negative. At its purest and most rewarding, you're feeling an immediate response from the other musicians to anything that you do. You realize how important every note you play is. Nothing can be just thrown in there because you feel like you got to play something. You've got to contribute at the highest level. That's something that I always bring to the bandstand with everybody else. I also try to bring a sense of confidence because, as I said earlier, once I got on the bandstand with Bill, everything became clear. That is my prime motive when I'm on the bandstand. And musicians have told me this for years after Bill passed. They will always comment on how clear I make everything. That's something I strive to do for the other musicians. I don't want there to be any confusion ever. Even when it's seemingly abstract, there's a way to make it so that everybody knows what's going on. For me, the communication factor is the most important thing. If I'm not communicating with my audience, then I'm not doing something right.
Drummer Joe LaBarbera, he's just written a book called Times Remembered, The Final Years of the Bill Evans Trio. He wrote the book with Charles Levin, and it was published by University of North Texas Press. Joe LaBarbera was in the trio for the final 20 months of Bill Evans' life. Evans died in September of 1980. The other member of the group was bassist Mark Johnson. I'm Peter Solomon. You're listening to 91.3 WESM and 90.7 WSDL, Delmarva Public Media.